it helped me in becoming famous at home to separate who I am from what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two were synonymous in my life. That's why I would burn out and crash and burn, go and crash and burn. And I was holding all of these responsibilities that stemmed from my childhood. I was holding all these responsibilities and I continued to hold them. Responsibilities that weren't even mine.
You're listening to the Famous at Home podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, the podcast formerly known as In This Together.
Kind of like Prince, but not.
We're now in this together, helping you be famous at home so you can thrive on your stage.
Every one of us has a stage, and no matter the stage we show up on, we all feel the stress of work, travel, and just plain busyness. Unfortunately, it's our loved ones under our own roof who often get our leftovers.
But what if we didn't have to choose between work and our family? Research shows the more connected we are to our spouse and kids, the more influence
and fun
we have on our respective stage.
So when your tires hit that driveway, keep in mind, the greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door.
You are famous at home.
Welcome to the Famous at Home podcast. That feels really strange to say, but we are here, famous at home. And today we begin a journey of walking through the 7 core decisions to becoming famous at home.
And I think what's so cool is we're starting like these 7 decisions today, but once we go through them all together, it's not a once and done. It's a we get to start again, because this is a life journey. And so we're going to talk today. Josh and I have, you know, been through this, but
we go through it all the time.
We just keep going through it.
Because these are decisions that you're going to constantly make on a regular basis. And so what we want to do is and the decisions just continue to look differently in terms of how you're making the decisions, what you're doing. And a lot of these decisions are very difficult to make at first, but they become easier over time. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is, so this will be the first, we just want to kind of give you an overview of the journey. We're going to be spending time going through these 7 decisions. And what we want you to do is really download, go to famousathome.com, download the PDF, Becoming Famous at Home, 7 Core Decisions. Download that PDF, sit down with your spouse, and we just encourage you each week to spend, we're going to just journey together as families. So invite other families along on this journey. Go to Instagram at Famous at Home. You can, we'll be posting things on there as well, and tag friends to do this podcast journey with us throughout the fall, because we're going to go through them. And what we're going to do is we're going to really kind of coach throughout the fall through these 7 decisions and how we can be famous at home. And what we want you to do is listen to Christy and I talk about how to implement the decision, how we've implemented it in our lives. And then we'll be doing a story each week, interviewing guests to talk about how they have implemented that same decision in their lives. And so this is going to go throughout the fall. We really want you to join us. So follow us on Instagram at Famous at Home. Tell friends, share it, and get that PDF. And let's have fun together becoming famous at home.
I love it. You can also leave us a review on wherever you listen to this podcast, if it's Stitcher or Apple Podcasts. We would love to hear from you. We love reading your reviews. It means so much to us, and it really is how people find out about the podcast. So with this new launch of the Famous at Home podcast, we are doing a giveaway. So if you leave a review, your name is submitted into the, we will choose 1 winner a week. Two winners this week to next week, based on the reviews. And we are sending you a Famous at Home t-shirt, which are super cool. And What Am I Feeling book. And we are, just as a thank you, because this is like,
we just want more families to learn about it, find out about it, and we want to be able to serve you guys well and have you sport Famous at Home gear, swag.
Because you really are famous at home.
That's right. So, and let's see how many families. Let's get as many families as we can. becoming famous at home and making it cool to be famous at home, to be great husbands, great fathers, great moms, great wives, and raising great kids who listen to us on a regular basis and who never act out or have problems.
I was tracking with you until the end.
All right, there we go. So,
and okay, let's just, I just want to clarify something, because you said making these decisions is hard at the beginning and then it gets easier. But this is what I want to clarify with that is, you will not change Rome in overnight. You will do this. We talked about in the last episode, the idea of vectoring. That's all we're doing. A plane does not adjust course by making a hard right or a hard left turn. They vector. Vector is a slight change, and that's what we're about. So today we're going to talk about decision number one. And even in this one, this decision you make today is going to be different than the decision you make in a month from now when you come back around to this, or in 6 months from now when you come back around to this. You'll be on to a different decision. And that's what's so, I think, evergreen about this is it's not rocket science. It's just the continual evolution of ourselves, that we're continually working and bettering ourselves, and that we're continually striving to make better decisions and vector our plane toward the place we really want it to go in the end of our lives.
And the cool part about all of these decisions is that there is a neurobiological thing happening. Because relationships matter. Relationships are the single biggest thing that rewire our brain and that give us life, give us joy, give us connection, give us a sense of purpose. Relationships matter. And there's neurobiology behind all of that that I don't necessarily need to get into specifically, but it just, trust us when we say, you literally rewire your brain. And in fact, when I wrote the book Safe House on Emotional Safety in Children a number of years ago, Christy coined the term, parenting isn't rocket science, it's just brain surgery. And like, it literally, that we are wiring our kids' brains by how we relate to them. And so these decisions that we make on a daily basis really are important in who our kids are becoming, and actually that we're wiring our kids' brains. Because of the environment that we're putting them in, and we're wiring our own brains too. We're rewiring our brains, I should say, right, for healthy relationships. And
that's where, I mean, really, we're going to talk about this first decision, and it begins with you. This is nothing to do with your spouse. This is nothing to do with your kids. It actually has everything to do with them in the end. But we can't control our spouse and we can't control our kids. So these decisions, this one today, is exactly and only and precisely about you.
And you may have heard us say this in previous episodes. If you go back and listen, we did an episode a little while back earlier this year in 2019 called Why Parenting is the Wrong Term. And we did that because we believe that becoming is the right term. Because you can sum up all of parenting research into one primary question, or you can sum up all of parenting research into one primary conclusion, and that is that our kids become who we are. And so some of these first decisions are really about, they might be about you making a decision. They might not be about a decision that you need to make towards your kids. They might be a decision that you have to make in your own life. And so,
that's this very first one.
Yeah. And so the very first decision, and we're going to get into this right now. So if you're listening with your spouse, sit down on the couch, do whatever, however you want to do this. Just listen in together. And the first core decision is defining your first goal. And your, if you notice in the PDF, your, we want to emphasize your, because this is about you. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your kids. The only person you can change is yourself. You have 100% responsibility in changing yourself. And so that's the key here, is you taking the opportunity to figure out where your greatest pain point is and what you can do about it. So defining your first goal. And we're getting into pain points here, Christy, is what we're doing.
Exactly. And I think, so a question I've often asked people in friendship and relationship and in coaching is, what's the heaviest thing you're dealing with right now? What's the heaviest weight on you? And I think so often we get so bombarded by the chaos of life. We feel so many things or nothing. I'm on the feeling end of the spectrum. A lot of people are on the numbing end of the spectrum. I've also been there. where we just really don't feel, we're just stressed, exhausted, getting through the days. And if you start to use those terms, if you're noticing, you know, in your marriage, you feel like your ship's passing in the night. If you feel like, oh, I keep missing my kids' event, like I want to be there for them, but like right now I'm really pressing in, I'm really kind of, you know, grinding this out. Once I get to the next level of leadership or whatever goal I'm trying to hit, you know, then I'll be able to show up and, you know, play with my kids and be able to be at their events more and that kind of thing. If you feel like, you know, right now we're just getting by, but that's okay. You know, we realize it's a season, you know, we're just going to keep pressing through. These are the yellow flags that we have started to recognize often turn to red flags. This is the decision place for all of us. This is the same for our health, for our bodies, for our spiritual life, for our relationships. When we feel like we've disconnected from friendships, we're disconnected from our own bodies, we're eating whatever we can, convenient, junk, sugar, alcohol, just stuff to numb out pain or to just survive. When we start to get in those sort of places where we're not taking care of ourselves, when we're filled a life that is so stuffed full that it almost feels like it's just a race you're just trying to keep up with versus living, these are the heavy things. These are the yellow flags we want to address right now.
And it could even be, you know right now whether or not you're close to your husband or whether or not you're close to your wife. Like, you know, viscerally, experientially, when you guys have really been connected intimately and when you're not. And you can kind of, if you can put it to measure it, maybe put it on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, yeah, we're crushing it. We're so, I've never felt more connected, all the way down to 1, like we're on the verge of divorce. Like, you know, where are you on that scale of 1 to 10? And you can even kind of ask yourself that question, like, where are we intimately? Like, because as Christy mentioned about the numbing, right? Like, sometimes we're so numb to things, we haven't even pulled ourselves away to realize how slowly we have drifted apart.
Right.
Because it doesn't happen overnight. These things don't happen overnight. And so, and let me just say this too, because I think this is an important piece to call out. These are often a lot of times some of our the ways that we do this include self-medicators, right? And there's things you talked about, food, or maybe it's alcohol or that type of thing. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe defining your first goal is saying, my self-medicator isn't working anymore and it's not serving me well, and I've got to do something about that. But here's what I want you to do. So as you're thinking about this, just ask yourself, Christy put it this way, which I love, is what's the heaviest thing on your mind right now? What is on your mind? What is the one thing that occupies, as it relates to your family, your life, what is the one thing that is on your mind you find that weighs you down the most right now? Mm-hmm. And write that one thing down. You know, it could be, as Christy mentioned, health. It could be your marriage. You feel like your marriage is falling apart. You feel like you're not getting enough time with your kids. Work is constantly putting stress on you, and you're coming home and you're just feeling like, you know, you're disconnecting from everybody.
You could feel like you have no purpose. You know, you might do the daily grind, the whatever that is for you, whether it's, you know, raising kids in your home, whether it's being, you know, working in, you're on the road, you're in a cubicle, you're leading great things on a stage, but you come home and it just is that sense of purposelessness. Like, and we're up and doing it again the next day. It could be, and it often is, the thing that just swirls in your mind where you're like, if I just, like, I just got to conquer this thing and then life would be good. Like, if I just, but it often feels out of reach and it often feels so out there. The heaviness of it is what suffocates us.
Yeah. And so as you do this, I would really encourage you to each, you and your spouse, if you're doing this together, sit down and ask yourself, what is the heaviest thing on my mind right now?
Yeah.
And write it down separately, because it may not be the same, but then come together and talk to one another about it, because here's one of two things is going to happen. You both know what it is for the other, and it might be the same thing. You might both be going, man, we really need to focus on our marriage. And there's a commonality there. You may also be surprised at what your spouse put down, which has happened quite often for us.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that there's so many things, sometimes the deepest, most piercing things in our lives and hearts, like the hardest, heavy things, are the things that we actually can't say out loud. Sometimes because it's so painful, sometimes because we just don't even have words to put to it. So this might be the first time that you actually take a step back and do an evaluation of life. Like, what is heavy? What am I? Where are there places that I feel are being stolen from me? Where joy is being stolen? Where life is being stolen? Where it feels like heavy and dark and death? Where are those things in your life? And what's interesting is there's been seasons where for Josh, when he's actually verbalized it to me, I was like, really? Like, I had no idea that was so big for you. I had no idea that that was causing. And it's because it was so much in his head and he didn't feel the freedom to say it out loud. Same thing for me. For me, some of my heaviest things, they don't make sense to him because it's just not even on his radar screen. It's nothing he deals with or rarely deals with. And when I said it out loud, it was like, wow, I had no idea that was stealing so much joy from you.
Yeah, it is powerful to realize, like, when you actually voice something, because a lot of times I'm not empathetic to Christy's struggle.
Right.
Because I can't relate to it.
Right. And until and I can...
I've been at fault for that.
Well, and I've been fault for yours too.
You because sure have been. let's get honest here and do a confessional while we're here.
Yeah. And then I realized, you know, using some other tools that like the things that I was saying in response were like exactly the worst things to say. So anyway, we'll get there. But yeah. Right now we're just starting with the first.
Essentially what she's
decision.
Saying is my wife put me in therapy.
Yeah.
You put me in therapy. Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
I'm totally messing.
And you're also totally indebted to therapy.
I'm totally messing.
Josh, okay, let's go personal because this gets vague and like, you know, weird example-wise until you actually talk about it in specific. So what, because we've been through this, you know, a number of times now, but what is your most current decision for number one? Meaning what goal?
Defining my first goal.
Your first goal.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, and I think, again, it, and you said currently right now, but I think this is the thing. As Christy said earlier, Rome wasn't built overnight and you can't eat an elephant, you know, in one bite. Like, this is why we're defining one goal right now is because there's a lot going on. Like, your kids are starting back to school. You know, there's a lot going on. It feels like, oh my gosh, I have so many problems. And the reality is that's another thing we need to shift. You know, we need to look at, we need to start keeping gratitude journals. And I would really encourage you during this journey, start a gratitude journal. Get out a book, get out a piece of paper, write out a gratitude journal and start being thankful for all the good things that are happening in your life. All the good things. That's what God did in the book of Genesis. Like every day he created something, he looked back on it and saw that it was good. There's a lot of good happening in your life. And one of the things we have to do is pay attention and start celebrating all of the good that is happening in our lives, because that is a, you know, Paul writes to be renewed by, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is a mindset shift, and a mindset shift requires gratitude. This episode is brought to you by the Famous at Home Family Journey.
Is your marriage slowly drifting apart? Do work and travel pull you away from those that you love, creating tension at home?
Or maybe you feel like your family takes a backseat to the stage you work on.
But what if we told you it doesn't have to be that way, that you can be famous at home and thrive on your stage?
That's why we offer the Famous at Home Family Journey. It's a 2 to 3 month personalized coaching journey that's tailored to your marriage and family. We coach spouses to reconnect and to fight for one another using principles of emotional safety.
And we coach your family how to set values that lead to your family living on purpose and growing closer together.
Schedule a call with us by visiting famousathome.com/coaching. That's famousathome.com/coaching.
And if you go back to Genesis, if you look in the garden, what did God do? He gave them one tree. One prohibition, one thing they couldn't do. All the rest was good and it was good and it was good. It was this one thing, I do not want you to eat from this tree. And I've often talked about this and I've done it in a talk where, you know, you have a picture, a big whiteboard, right? Like a giant whiteboard. It's totally clear. If I were to go up and I were to draw a large black dot in the middle just a dot, like not a huge circle, but just a black dot in the middle, and I were to ask you to stare at that whiteboard, where does your eye go? It goes to the black dot. We stare at the thing that is going wrong in our lives. We stare at that one place. We forget all this beautiful white space, all the things that God has done in our lives, in our marriage, in our family, all the way he's showing up, all the small places of beauty and joy in life, like the flowers and the butterflies, which probably men don't get that example, but I literally just walked through my garden and all these butterflies are sitting on these pretty little petals. And it's just like, you could totally miss that. Mm. And maybe men, I don't know, it's like fish jumping out of a creek or something cool or like that. Cool. Yeah, right? But it's, to me, like I used to walk by that and completely miss those moments. I literally like almost had tears in my eyes because it was so beautiful. And so if we can start to shift, if you're, again, in your mind, you're staring at that whiteboard, to take our gaze away from the one black dot and to stare at the white. Focus on what's going well.
Do that throughout this journey. And because there's going to be various decisions that we have to make. So you asked me what's happening right now.
So what's your one, what's your black dot?
Yeah. So, well, my black dot for me, so a recent decision that I made that where my first goal was, and I'm going to go back to last fall, because a year ago at this time, I was a mess. A year ago at this time, I was not doing well personally. I had a lot going on in my head that Christy could not understand, nor did she totally know a lot about. Just a lot of fear-based kind of stuff that was, in a lot of ways, irrational. I mean, there was nothing like that was rational about it. And a lot of it stemmed.
I said it was crazy at one point, and that was not a good thing to say.
Yeah, because it was very real to me.
I know. I'm like sort of saying facetiously because we're over that.
Here's what happened during that time. I was burned out.
Yeah.
And I had this pattern in my life of constantly working hard, burning out and crashing. Working hard, burning out and crashing. And not only that, now all of a sudden this fear is creeping in. And I'm like, I'm struggling. And I called my friend, Bill Loki. And I said, Bill, I need to do some therapy. And I knew that was my first goal.
Yeah.
I got to a place where I was like, my first goal, I need therapy. I've got to start really honing in on who I am. Because here I am coaching other families and other leaders. And I'm like, and I've been through therapy throughout my life on numerous occasions, you know, working through my parents' divorce and things like that. I just knew that now this was something else in my life. Mm-hmm. And I love the way my friend Miles Adcox describes this. He says that you don't need therapy. You deserve therapy. And I think it's such a shift in our
brain.
Isn't
that a mindset shift?
We all deserve it. Mm-hmm. It's not for crazy people. It's for broken people. And there's not a person on this planet who's not broken. For me, I ended up going to on-site, ended up going for, you know, the therapeutic intensive. And it was a shift for me. It absolutely, I can't even begin to describe what a shift it was for me. But the biggest thing that it did for me, and this is what I want to hone in on in this episode, is from defining my first goal, it helped me in becoming famous at home to separate who I am from what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two were synonymous in my life. That's why I would burn out and crash and burn, go and crash and burn. And I was holding all of these responsibilities that stemmed from my childhood. I was holding all these responsibilities and I continued to hold them. Responsibilities that weren't even mine. Mm-hmm. Responsibilities I didn't even need to take care of. And worrying about what people thought of me that, one, weren't even thinking about me to begin with. And number two, didn't matter what they think if they did, you know? Like, it's like I knew I had to separate that and start prioritizing in different ways my own life and my own family and rediscover the child within. And so that was a big, so for me, in defining my first goal, my first goal really got to a place where I will go to therapy. What's heavy on my life right now, there was a lot of things on my mind and I knew that I needed therapy. So in that, you know, as you're doing this, there's a spot there for my first goal is, you know, for me, mine, I will find a counselor. To help our family,
yeah.
To help me so that I can in turn help my family. That was my first, but I knew that was my responsibility. I knew it was my decision I had to make. It was the decision I needed to make in that season. And there's new decisions that are constantly happening that we need to constantly be making. Like right now, what is on your mind and what is that goal?
Yeah.
You know, that's and that's where we're thinking, that direction.
And this is where I think it gets really powerful, especially we work with a lot of married couples. Often there is one person who is gung-ho, who wants change, who believes it's the other person's fault. And sometimes there's a lot of legitimacy in, you know, there might be more blame on one in a particular circumstance than another. Doesn't mean there's no blame on the other, but it means there's one that's more earnest and more, more really wanting change, and one who's coming along sometimes just to placate. Is that the word?
Placate.
Is that how you say it? Placate. Anyway, just, I'm like reading it in my head, but I'm really not sure I've ever said it out loud. Basically just to appease the other person. And
well, placating means to make someone less angry or hostile.
Did you just Google that? You're crazy.
No, it's in my brain. I have all this stuff memorized. Placate means you're making someone less angry or hostile.
There you go.
You're pacifying them, you're calming them, you're appeasing them.
And pronounced placate.
Yes, there you go.
This is your dictionary.com definition of the day. Placate. Back to my point was, this is where it starts to take a little bit of the power out of that fight, because I couldn't make the decision for Josh to go to therapy. Could I see that he was sort of going off his rail, like the rail that I see his life, his purpose, his, yes, I could see that, but I can't make him go. I can't will him to go. I can't force him to go. I could, I don't think the outcome would have been the same. And so for him to be able to take a look at his life and for him to come to that conclusion, I could have really had him go sooner, but it has to be his decision.
And it was my decision, but you championed it by, you know, saying, hey, this is an investment we have to make for our family. Right. 'Cause there's an investment. You're paying money to do this.
Right.
Like, we need this. You need this. Our family needs this. So it wasn't blame and ridicule. It was, or a sense of like, there was blessing.
Yeah.
You blessed me in that decision and said, go for it. And I think that's a very important distinction we need to make, is that we're blessing our spouse in their goal.
Right. Because that's so powerful. That's a great thing to touch on, because it may not make sense to you. You may be like, you can't see the blaring neon sign above your head. You need to deal with this. Like, I see this in you. How can you not see this? They may be 15 steps behind that. They have to work on their first goal first. It may literally be something. I mean, let's go to mine. Let's
help them with that goal rather than lamenting that they're not doing the goal you want them to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go to yours, because yours is different, and but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. My current one, last one, I guess current one really is, it was taking care of my body.
Well, it is your current one.
It is my current one. It's not like there's that's going to go
if
away.
There it is.
I know. Okay. You're right. It's still deciding, and yeah. I have to decide every day. But I, some of you know my story, and when we had our daughter Kennedy, I was really sick in both pregnancies, actually, but the second one especially. And when she was born, she was born healthy and happy, and then something took a turn, and she basically just screamed her whole first 9-10 months of life. She slept 23 to 43 minute increments. I know that because we timed it. And the rest of the time she basically just screamed. And we did everything. We went to all the doctors and all the specialists and all the lactation people and all the holistic people and all the experts, meaning like the neighbors next door, like everybody who has an opinion on why this little girl doesn't stop screaming and why she doesn't sleep. And none of it helped. And I really slipped into what I can see now was depression. I wouldn't have been able to really even see that clearly at the time. But looking back, I can see it definitely was. I was almost having, it really was a post-traumatic stress reaction. Day in and day out. And so it led to adrenal fatigue, and I had a lot of back issues. that were, it was really, really bad. And I couldn't carry her, or hold her, put her in or out of her crib or in or out of her car seat. I couldn't. One point I didn't walk for 3 weeks and Josh would have to carry me to the bathroom. I had a granny potty beside my bed. And it would sort of just be, just cycles of that. And it's taken me, she's five now. It's taken me 5 years to really make the decisions. And also, and that is a whole other, that's a whole journey in and of itself. But for me to now care about what's happening to my body and not just feel a victim of it, but to wake up early, to have my quiet time with the Lord, to center myself, to feed myself and fuel myself with a nutrition system that actually makes me come alive, and has decreased my inflammation a ton, like a ton, and to get myself with, I work with a pelvic floor, physiotherapist now, and she has helped me immensely. I worked with, but just making those decisions, cause I tried for so long different things and it didn't work, honestly, or it moved the needle a little bit. And then I just, it was like hopelessness and despair that kind of, just crept into life and I just stopped caring.
And I have noticed too, that whenever you focus on your health, when you don't focus on your health, it's felt. Like it's felt throughout the entire house.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I, and I think person. I know that. And it's, I couldn't muster the will or the energy to do it, like to do anything about it. I just comfort food, junk food, sugar, like all the things that don't help, but somehow in the temporary moment give you a high, felt like the best decision, even though they were the worst.
And one of the big things about this is when we, so you heard me talk about, I need to go to therapy. You hear Christy talk about, I need to focus on my health. These are the goals. So your goal is I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to focus on this. So it's one, just finding that one goal. And that's all we're asking you to do. And you realize too, like, notice we didn't say we need to work on our marriage, or we didn't. Now, some of you, that's going to be the case.
And mine was more specific than health, because that's like a pretty wide encompassing. Like mine started with like, I need a pelvic floor PT. I knew I needed that. So I found her. Then mine became my diet. Like I have to change how I'm nourishing my body. I knew that. So that's my current one. And that's what I've been working on. And then, well, I feel like I've maybe moved on. My next one has been waking up. I'm just doing 20-minute workout, not every day, but.
And this all gets into the next core decision.
Sorry.
So
okay,
you're getting a little
but
bit
I'm
ahead.
Making it specific.
Yeah, right now, because you're going to have to make it specific and you're going to have to find that we'll get into core decision number two here in a little bit. But core decision number one is just identify. Like we need to identify and own our response. I think the biggest struggle here in core decision number one is owning responsibility for the decision you have to make. Mm-hmm. And saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put my mind to it. I'm going to get support around me to do this. And notice, and I want to go back to this thought, because we didn't talk about marriage, but what did happen is my therapy and you getting healthier have led to a deeper, more satisfying in marriage and intimate life and sex life and all that type of stuff. I mean, it because I focused on me, because you're focusing on you, now all of a sudden you become famous at home, because you become more famous at home because you become more present.
Right.
You become more focused. You become more of yourself. You become more alive.
Like you're showing up. You are starting to actually show up.
Because here's the deal. So the Bible says Jesus says this. He says, love others as you love yourself, which implies that we need to be loving ourselves well. Mm-hmm. Now, I can get into a whole slew of stuff because this isn't about you. This is about loving others well. This is about becoming the best version of yourself so that you can show up for other people.
So really, we want you to set your goal. What's your first goal? And as we talk about just the importance of speaking that out loud, not identifying it, saying it out loud, saying it to our spouse if you're married, or a good friend. Accountability is really important and powerful because we're bringing things out of darkness into light. And we also want to make that a part of our community. And so we are going to put a post on our Famous at Home Instagram page about what our goals are. And we would love for you to go over there and post. What's your goal?
Yeah, make a comment. What is your goal? Like, let us know what your goal is.
Yeah, we want to be there to support one another. See, I think it's going to be really powerful to start to see what other people's goals are, what your goals are. Probably it'll pop up things that you didn't even think of. And you're like, yeah, might need to hit on that one next time around.
And tell others in your story too. And we'll you know, and tag Famous at Home and we'll share those. And just let's be a community that's going to hold each other accountable and just share and talk and make it okay to be famous at home, because that's the goal.
And don't forget, if you put a review on iTunes this week, we will be I guess it's not called iTunes anymore. Apple, that's a hard one to die.
Who knows if it is? It's just whatever.
On the thing where you leave reviews for podcasts.
Go leave a review.
We will go and we will choose two winners this week, and we will send you a Famous at Home t-shirt and What Am I Feeling book.
Absolutely. So until next week, which by the way, you will not want to miss. It's an incredible interview on this particular decision. Make sure you tune in next week. Listen to the interview. The decisions they made are just unbelievable. The goal they set was unbelievable. Tune in next week. And until then, remember that the greatest red carpet that you will walk is through your front door.
You're famous at home.
Thank you for listening to the Famous at Home podcast. If anything we said today hit home with you or resonated in such a way you want to share it with others, go find us on Instagram at Famous at Home and comment, share, tell others about today's episode.
We'd also love if you would leave us a review. Reviews mean so much to us, and they also help other people find out about the podcast. So if you could leave us a review, we would appreciate it.
You can also visit famousathome.com/podcast to submit a question or topic for a future episode.
And for coaching or speaking inquiries for your family or your organization, visit famousathome.com. We would love to serve you.
Because the greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door.